looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about how much of modern medicine is really myth these days. That's a question. You may be surprised. Also, we're going to be talking about maybe your heart risks, and brain stress. We'll see how the hour goes. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, and I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. Hope you are too. I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face every day and asking for God's hand to be on this nation, because we need His guiding hand and His protection. We seriously do. We can't do it ourselves. No. All right, I did bring my devotional today. I hear more and more from you people. You like this part of the show. This is good. Praise the Lord. All right, so today it's from Isaiah 41 and Zechariah 3 and Psalms 34, and it goes like this. The world is too much with you, my child. Your mind leaps from problem to problem to problem, tangling your thoughts in anxious knots. And when you think like that, you leave me out of the worldview and your mind becomes darkened. Though I yearn to help you, I will not violate your freedom, your free will. I stand silently in the background of your mind, waiting for you to remember that I am with you. So when you turn from your problems to my presence, your load is immediately lighter. Circumstances may not have changed, but we carry the burdens together. Your compulsion to fix everything gives way to deep, satisfying connections with me. Together, we can handle whatever this day brings. Amen. We got a shoulder to lean on, and it's the Lord. He'll never let you down. He never forsakes you. Remember that. And if you haven't been seeking the Lord to find salvation through the Lord, then that is the way. Time's away. You're burning daylight. Get to getting on that. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, first up in the quack report, Italy is going for the mandatory vaccines, or heavy-handed here, becoming law for school children starting in the fall. Italy's Minister of Health has declared that any children who do not have appropriate vaccinations up to date will no longer be allowed to attend the state-funded schools. So there's a total of 12 vaccines that are mandatory there. God, compared to how many here? 50? 56? I don't know. There's a lot. Parents will be required to proof of vaccination every school year, beginning in September. So not just once, but every year you got to bring that certification. And even nursery school children will be prohibited from attending class if they don't receive their required inoculations. Now, in 2016, Italy introduced the no jab, no pay policy, where citizens with unvaccinated children would lose their child benefits. So the vaccine rate actually in Italy reached its peak in 2017, with 92.2% of the nation's children being vaccinated. And last year, over 200,000 more children were immunized as a response to these new policies. Well, you got to wonder why you got to threaten them, you know? Why you got to threaten somebody if something's good and healthy for you? Folks out there, if you don't have the physician's vaccine health warranty form, Google that on the internet. Check into it. All right. It's not what you think. The physician's form of vaccine warranty, where the doctor guarantees the vaccine won't hurt your kid. All right, last but not least in the quack report, over half of the women that undergo mastectomies have no idea how painful reconstructive surgery and recovery is going to be. They're not told about it. So a recent study that was published in the Journal of American Medical Association and their Journal of Surgery found that a significant number of female breast cancer patients undergo mastectomy without prior knowledge of the risks and potential life-threatening side effects that are associated with the reconstructive part. So as part of the study, a team of researchers at Ohio State interviewed 126 adult breast cancer patients who underwent the mastectomy, and they found that 73% of the patients had early-stage breast cancer. And they were asked if they had any knowledge regarding the effects of the surgery, and they found 57% of them were not aware of the associated risks with the surgery. That's incredible. So this is a very concerning to some of these doctors that, you know, the treatments, you know, you're supposed to have, you know, full consent on this, and many women were quite concerned about complication risks, but they weren't actually knew what the risks were. Some patients, they said, got more treatment than they thought. Some women didn't really want reconstructive, or, you know, they weren't informed that certain procedures would actually be part of the reconstruction. Anyway, so always ask a lot of questions ad nauseum. Yes, yes, it's sort of like talking to the government. You're not going to get the answers unless you ask the right questions. That's right. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to ask this question. Well, let me ask you, Frank, how much of modern medicine is a myth? Just give me a percentage. Give me your best guess. Magical engineer, give it to me. 90%? Oh, well, well done. Well, you're going to find out. You're close. You're close. Patients today are faced with the task of qualifying the allopathic treatments recommended to them. That's what you're faced with. You have to do it. Evidence-based scientific medicine has come under fire lately with, you know, the exposure that most of the research, the medical devices and the drug research has been fabricated. So what can patients count on with regard to the integrity and truthfulness of modern medicine? Well, medical doctors see patients and they don't have time to do this clinical research stuff. So therefore, they're relying on the scientific researchers to report on new treatments and new surgeries and drug therapies in the journals. And I've heard, you know, different estimates on what part of the research can be verified or duplicated in a peer review. So it has been as low as 15% can be duplicated and verified, with an average of 38%. Okay, so I've also heard 76% offers a compelling evidence only, but only that further tests are required. So a good majority of this research, big old question mark on it. Well, let's look at the reality, because the reality, according to science, out of their own mouth, is quite different than what we're told or what we're supposed to be thinking. Let's say the FDA approves of a drug to be used for specific conditions, and then physicians use the drug for what is called off-label use. So human beings are not identical, and a disease in one individual may not be the same in another, and therefore a diagnosis is not a definite entity. So the reality is that the FDA does not recognize this truth. So an example is a drug for, let's say, diabetic nerve pain that may have an off-label use for other causes of nerve pain, and the FDA may consider all nerve pain to be the same and approve the off-label use. Now, in medicine, doctors are referring to this scenario as, quote, a fiction of convenience, which is a little concerning, a lot concerning, if they're calling this a fiction of convenience. One physician put it this way: the disease process and diagnosis are not neat separate entities, but the FDA pretends that they are. End of quote. So this is really startling to realize that this approach in medical science is engaging in non-evidence-based therapies. That's what it is. So, which, you know, is they often criticize alternative medicine for that, calling it quackery. Now, medical science considers alternative therapy to be highly improbable and lacking compelling evidence, and therefore they feel it's based on a hunch. Aha! Well, let's just see what they're doing with their stuff, right? Here's a quote from Dr. Jason Novella. He says, 100% of the clinical decisions I make are based upon the available evidence-based plausible research combined with what I know. I have often used unproven, plausible, natural therapies when no evidence-based treatment is available. End of quote. Aha. Interesting. All right, let's look at, is science really self-defined then? Are they just, you know, kind of self-policing? I think they are. Most medical physicians will agree that their profession is self-critical and based supposedly in evidence. However, not all evidence is available, viewed, and factored into the research, making the results less than proven. So here is where the industry is committing suicide, allowing a lot of junk science to influence treatments. So now who is the quack, right? Because I'm sure doctors are wondering which of the scientific studies they read about in their journals are actually confirmed through replication, and which studies would be the junk science ones that are motivated by, you know, greed through grant money. You got to know, they got to be sitting there wondering, well, that's a great article, a great study, but is it true? That's the question. Here's a quote from another quote from Dr. Novella. He says, science-based medicine is hard. He says it's hard. Uh-huh. He says, we are overwhelmed with, quote, probable evidence, and it is impossible to keep up with it all. I think we would benefit from a system of continuing medical education that was more systematic and less haphazard, end of quote. Goodness, I thought this was all controlled science. What is this haphazard description doing there? What do you think, Frank? Haphazard, that word doesn't sit well with me when a medical doctor uses it, describing his profession, the research. It's scary. I know. Well, Frank, I know you have some choice words. Surely the engineer, the magical engineer, has some choice words to share. But because we're coming up to this segment where we're going to talk about some more evidence. And it was University of Colorado in Denver that's in 2012 came up with some evidence. But Frank says, we'd be okay if I was running your show haphazardly. It would not be okay. No, it wouldn't, Frank. See, Frank understands. You can't have haphazard. It doesn't work well. Things happen. Unforeseen things happen when it's haphazard. Can't have that in medicine. No, that's not working. Okay, so in 2012, the University of Colorado in Denver discovered that often in the scientific research involving cancer, the research was conducted using the wrong cancer cells. So incorrect research was published, and oncologists utilize the treatments recommended in their studies, and the patients are then treated based on corrupt research. So this happens, they say, more often than we think in science when the tests are done on cell lines that have nothing to do with the medical topic. For instance, Dr. Andrew Bradford and his colleagues discovered breast cancer research that was published in the Journal of Gynecological Oncology, which recommended new drugs for treatment but they used genetically different cells than required for the research. So according to Dr. Bradford, he has his undergraduate students always test the cells to confirm they are actual the type of cell that's on the label out of the container they came from before they even conduct an experiment because he says cells are often mislabeled. So Dr. Christopher Crott, he added this, there's up to a 40% chance that the cells in a container do not match what's on the label. And Dr. Bradford and Crotch say there's really no excuse for most of the junk science day falling into this pit of the wrong cell line being in their study. According to the good doctors, they say, in the past, the technology to check cell lines didn't exist, but today it's cheap, it's easy, and the technology is widely available to confirm your cells. There's no excuse, they say, to experiment on cells without first confirming them, and we've suggested to the medical journals that they start requiring verification on the cell lines as a prerequisite for the publication. Well, that makes sense. Right? What's wrong with that? That's very common sense. That's a good idea. Really good idea. But, you know, the medical journals are just paid advertising for the pharmaceutical industry, so I don't know if they're going to be able to demand that, you know? What's your thinking, Frank? Do you think they're going to be able to, you know, shake their finger at the big pharma and say, no, I'm not publishing this until you confirm that the cell line was accurate? Yeah. That's like a high school student shaking their finger at the principal, right? All right, let's look at this sloppy research a little bit further. Since Dr. Bradford suggested to avoid the junk science that all published research requires cells to be tested first and identified prior to conducting the study, you may wonder how sophisticated the testing is to do that. Does it take a licensed medical physician to run the test, or can any scientist do it? Well, according to Dr. Bradford, the test is so simple and accurate that it's the same test Scotland Yard or any forensic investigator uses to identify DNA on suspects. So Dr. Bradford adds that since there is a 40% chance the lab was sent the wrong cell line to test, it brings into question decades of research and medical treatments based on that. The wrong cell line, the wrong research. Whoa, decades of research is wrong. Wrap your brain around that. Decades of breast cancer research, wrong. Prostate cancer research, wrong. Colon cancer research is wrong. And people are being treated with wrong therapies. All right? Well, it's a faulty system, we're being told, and science is telling us it's faulty. So what could cause the laboratories to send the wrong cells to test? Well, apparently, this is the snafu science doesn't want to admit to, but they blame it on a faulty filing system. However, the mismatch on the cells, getting the cells wrong, goes beyond the clerical error. It does. According to Dr. Bradford, there can be a lot of cross-contamination in the lab. He says cultures can fly. They can become airborne and migrate somewhere else. He said technicians can accidentally touch the same pipettes using different cell lines. He said contaminated cells are quite aggressive and can adapt, so if they do transfer into another container, they can actually overpower what was originally in the container. And then he also says labs typically don't quarantine cell lines until they get identified, and then, of course, it may be too late. So now Dr. Monique Spillman of the School of Medicine, University of Colorado, adds that studies on cervical cancer can easily be flawed if using endometrial cell cancer cell lines, because they are not the same with a they don't have the same genetic pathway. So another example given is the studies on prostate cancer that unknowingly used cervical cancer cell lines, and all that research is flawed because men with prostates, they don't have cervixes. I kind of know that part. Yeah. Now, during their investigation, the team at the University of Colorado found that 50% of the thyroid cell lines were contaminated and misidentified. So, you know, 50% of the thyroid research, it's in the trash. Now, an example was that there were two thyroid cell lines. One was a really melanoma cell line, was in thyroid, and another was really colon cancer cell line, wasn't thyroid at all. Okay, so thyroid cancer research, not going to help you. So thyroid cancer studies using, you know, melanoma cells or colon cancer cells, that's going to produce junk science in a heartbeat. If the results are published, it could put patients at risk of mistreatments that will not help them. Think about it. All right, I got a reading list for you if you want to do some more research. NPR science correspondent Richard Harris, he has written a book called Rigor Mortis, How Sloppy Science Creates Worthless Cures, Crushes Hope, and Wastes Billions. I don't think the cure word should be in that title, but that's just me. He discusses the plague upon the industry of scientific research and its dark secrets. So if you want to learn what's really going on, you might want to peruse his book. He describes what the investigators at the School of Medicine at the University of Colorado reported. However, he goes into more descriptive statements. He's a little bit more flowery, descriptive. He says thousands of breast cancer studies are totally useless because they were conducted using the wrong type of cells. Rather than using breast cancer cells, the researcher used wrongly identified cells that were actually melanoma cancer cells. So this means that thousands of papers had investigated and experimented with the wrong disease. Richard Harris said that. So, yeah, you're going to be treated with therapies for the wrong disease is what that means. And how prevalent was this throughout medicine? And how widespread is it? Well, let's just say this is a scientific crisis. That's what this is. Harris actually nails the scientific evidence to the wall, citing that the halls of science have set back breast cancer research decades by using the wrong cells. He then reminds us that breast cancer was not the only area of medicine affected. Like a disease, the sloppy research spread into other research, causing one of the most precarious dilemmas science has ever created for itself, aside from creating superbug bacteria through the creation and overuse of antibiotics. So Harris is almost angry with his scathing description of what science has really done. And, you know, who could blame him? You know, this debacle has really shaken our trust in scientific medicine, and either the checks and balances were not in place, were not used, or were actually swept under the rug. And I'm going to speculate that it's a cover-up scenario. It's the most likely one, when a majority of the studies could not be replicated with the same results. And that should throw it out immediately, right? Yes, as Harris described it, the, quote, gold standard in medicine to double-check the findings has fallen by the wayside. And he states that on a very good day, we may find that 50% of the studies may stand against further investigation, and a lesser amount we could offer as replicated data. Less than 50%. Well, I think one scientist said it's more like 2% can be replicated. The rest is all garbage. That's even scarier. Well, let's count the costs, you know, because this is a shocking truth that, you know, much, if not most, of the medical treatments are fraudulent in several ways. Now, first, the junk science costs taxpayers about $28 billion a year. And secondly, think of the tremendous cost to patients paying for treatments that would never help or save them. So when I read these reports from the mouth of scientists, I remember what Dr. Anthony Morris said to me over the phone in 1995. He said, "The scientific clinical trials regarding vaccinations are all false. There are no antibodies made by the body when a vaccine is given, and it weakens the immune system." So Dr. Morris he's passed away, but he was a virologist and an expert in bacteria, and he worked for the FDA, and he had access to all this raw data. And when he exposed this truth, well, then he could no longer work in the United States. He also said vaccines are the most highly guarded secret in medical science. Why is that? Why you got to threaten parents with, you know, taking away their finances, taking away an education? Why do you got to threaten somebody for a treatment that's supposed to be beneficial, right? Well, time is going to vindicate Dr. Morris and others who have risked their careers and lives speaking the truth. And recent reports of vaccinated college students becoming ill with the very disease they were vaccinated against is the beginning. Now, vaccines are an artificial infection. And remember, an infection is never a prevention. Remember that. Oh, yeah. Frank, do we have time or do we got to go to a break? Do we got to go to a break? Is it time? I'm checking. Are we on time for a break or do I have... I don't have time. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we've been talking about how much of modern medicine, medical science, is a myth. Well, from what science is telling us, a whole lot of it, apparently. Well, you know, strengthening is a prevention, by the way. You know, so always remember that a strong constitution, including your immune system, is your best defense against disease, and your creator gets the credit for that, and not your medical science. So organic, whole foods, spices, herbs, all which the creator made for you, these are all strengtheners, and prescription drugs and surgery weaken the body, and weakness leads to failure. So you want to look for the sources that will strengthen you, and you will have to do that. Allopathic medicine has no clue how to help the body heal itself with nutrition. Just forget it. You're not going to get any help from them. So you want to call the experts in immune boosting and organ cleansing and educate yourself that, you know, what you can do and what no medical doctor can. Yeah. So call Apothecary Herbs and ask for their free product catalog and empower yourself. The number is toll free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., the number is 704-885-0277. 704-885-0277. Of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com. Puts power back in your hands. Makes a lot of sense. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Also, don't forget, they're in the middle of their Memorial Day special, so you'll save 20% on orders of $50 or more now through Monday, the 29th of May. Their coupon code is on their homepage, or you can use it over the phone, and it is 17 M for Memorial and the word day, 17 M day, and that will get you the discount, so you can, you know, do those cleanses you've been thinking about doing, get your dog and cat some natural flea and tick collars, you know, whatever it is that you've been meaning to do, and you just, yeah, it's just a good time. This really good time. So thepowerherbs.com. And before I forget, I hope everybody has a good Memorial Day. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably going to, you know, do something around the house. Needs to be done, that kind of thing, been putting it off. I don't know. I may put my toe in the big community pool. I don't know. We'll see. But I hope everybody has a safe, healthy Memorial Day. If you're traveling, be safe out there. All right, we're going to be talking about, I got some calls lately and questions about heart and sleep apnea, all kinds of stuff. So sleep apnea is a big deal. Anybody you know got that? Oh. I mean, I've had a family member with sleep apnea. It's like, you know, snoring via megaphone. It's loud. It's really bad. So we're going to talk about, is there a risk now that connects heart risk and sleep apnea? Now, according to the American Sleep Apnea Association, 22 million Americans suffer from sleep apnea, and this condition has not produced the attention, you know, that diabetes and cancer has, you know, because, you know, obviously it's not as life-threatening a condition and seems, though, to be linked in some way to heart disease, they think. So we're told that about 80% of those with sleep apnea have moderate to severe symptoms. And pediatricians are also saying 1 in 4 children have sleep apnea. And children are usually diagnosed between the ages of 3 to 8. So we're going to take a look at this link between sleep apnea and heart issues and see how we can protect ourselves. So what really is it? Well, there are a few different types of sleep apnea. If you suffer from this, you can have episodes where you stop breathing hundreds of times per night. So this produces poor sleep quality. And the greater risk is your health occurs you stop breathing, you have your sleep apnea in the deepest part of sleep when you're having your rapid eye movement. That's usually when you stop the breathing, the normal breathing. Now, there's 3 different kinds of sleep apnea. There's obstructive sleep apnea, and this is if you have a blockage of the airway. So an obstruction can be your tongue that falls back against your palate and puts a lot of pressure there, which can actually fold down into the palate, closing it off, and obstruct your airway. A suffocation could occur. However, most people with apnea will wake themselves up because of the loud sound they make to catch their breath. The second type is central sleep apnea, and this is when the airway is not completely blocked, but the brain is not sending a signal via the central nervous system for the chest cavity muscles to breathe. And we're going to get into why that's happening because it involves the thyroid in just a minute. Now, complex sleep apnea represents a combination of the obstruction and central sleep apnea type, so it's kind of a combo. Now, let's look at some of the complications because the American Sleep Apnea Association does give us some complications from sleep apnea because it reduces oxygen in the blood. It starves the cells, and this robs your body of producing a lot of normal physical conditions. So sleep apnea can lead to the following health complications. You can get headaches. So if you wake with headaches in the morning, that's an indicator because you're not getting enough oxygen to the brain while you sleep. Also, heart attacks are prevalent, as well as high blood pressure, heart failure, AFib or heart flutters, stroke, type 2 diabetes, depression, sleep deprivation, lack of energy, loss of concentration and coordination, and obesity. Now, pediatric sleep apnea complications are these: mood problems, cognitive dysfunction, concentration issues, hyperactivity, obsessive-compulsive disorders, increased risk of cardiovascular disease, and obesity. So how do you know if you have sleep apnea? Well, if you're not sure you have sleep apnea, there's a couple of ways you can confirm it. If you sleep alone, you may not hear from a family member that would be lying next to you that, hey, you're snoring too loud. So sleep apnea magnifies your snoring, and you can then seek medical confirmation at a sleep clinic where they would monitor your blood oxygen levels, your respiration rate, your brain activity, all your body movements, your inhalation reflex, and they would monitor you throughout the night. And they could tell you in the morning, because the computer would keep these readings, and they could tell you how many times you quit breathing during the night. So they could report your incidence of sleep interruption per hour. Now, what are the medical treatments? Well, the medical treatments for sleep apnea over the last 20 years have been really less than successful. Patients and their family members report that the sleep apnea machines, also known as the CPAP machine, offer a little symptom relief and they offer some risk. So if you've seen these machines, they're about the size of a toaster maybe. They have a lot of hoses coming out of them. The bottom tray holds a pan of water that is sucked up into the machine to produce this moist air, that which is then forced through the hose into the back of the person throat because they're wearing a mask. And patients complain of the lack of comfort while sleeping wearing these face masks. You know, they turn over and it comes off their face. It's just not real comfortable. So an additional problem is most sleep apnea patients find out later that if they don't clean that CPAP machine really well, it can produce bacteria and lead to some serious lung infections. And patients are required to sleep on their backs, and often later they abandon this sleep apnea CPAP machine because it's not comfortable, and they're just not getting the symptom relief that they want. Physicians will also advise patients to reduce their weight, see their dentist to make maybe a custom-fitted bite guard to push their lower jaw and tongue forward to prevent closure of the airway. So in severe cases, doctors may even perform surgery on the soft palate, and pediatric cases of the surgeons remove tonsils and adenoids. Well, you know, that's just, you know, driving after symptoms. That's all it is. It's not getting at the problem. Well, let's look at the surgical risk. Now, surgeons know that patients that suffer from sleep apnea are a special case for anesthesiologists and if you're being administered any pain medicine, because these kinds of medications will affect respiration and can relax muscles. So in the case of anesthesia, the medication can even paralyze muscles. And this is a particular risk to anyone who does not know they have sleep apnea. So doctors are now giving questionnaires to determine if sleep apnea is present before surgery. Other precautions surgeons will use, they'll implement they'll look for clinical signs that you may have sleep apnea. For instance, they measure the circumference of your neck because if you have a short, large, or thick neck, it can be an indicator that you have an abnormal airway or soft palate, which could give you sleep apnea, they say. And in some instances, the surgeon may need to delay surgery to confirm that sleep apnea is not a problem, because they want to avoid adverse events. Now, to reduce risks, surgeons may avoid general anesthesia and use minimized sedation or even local anesthesia. So using epidurals may be an option, and sleep apnea patients must be positioned in a semi-upright position while they're in recovery. Let's see. One anesthesiologist, Jeffrey Gross, University of Connecticut School of Medicine, says for a long time, we weren't that attuned to the sleep apnea problem. We are seeing a lot more sleep apnea than we used to, which has increased our awareness. And then also, this is Dr. Susan Redline, director of sleep apnea circadian disorders at Brigham's Women's Hospital in Boston. She says, we hope these studies focus attention on the importance of sleep apnea in men and women who are historically underdiagnosed. End of quote. Well, they're seeing more sleep apnea. Why do you suppose that is? Well, let's look at some of the risks. Sleep apnea may not seem like a real threat to some people, and then they don't seek treatment. But the treatment for sleep apnea is not inclusive of scientific medicine and the CPAP machine and surgery. So just keep in mind, they're not all inclusive for dealing with sleep apnea. Now, there could be other options that patients can investigate. Those who ignore the problem run a 30% risk of experiencing a heart attack within the first 5 years. Well, let's look at this Yale study real quick. The researchers team at Yale University conducted a study in 07 to assess the risk of cardio events linked to sleep apnea, and they discovered that the severe cases of sleep apnea run a greater risk of developing heart disease and dying early. So according to Dr. Naomi Shea of the Yale study, their work was not the first, but it was a large study that tracked the association of sleep apnea and heart disease and the outcome of the survival of rate of heart attacks and the mortality rate. So Dr. Shea suggests sleep apnea should be treated, and it suggests that it can lower the risk of heart disease. And she stated that obesity is a major risk factor for sleep apnea. So this Yale study followed about 1,100 sleep apnea patients for 5 years, monitored their heart attack, coronary artery disease, and the need for bypass heart surgery and events up to death. So according to the research, sleep apnea stimulates the body's fight-or-flight response, and this induces blood flow to the heart. But repeated exposure several times per night over years and years, she says, starves the heart muscle of oxygen and weakens it. So there's your connection of sleep apnea to the heart disease issue. Well, let's look and see if there's any gender risk involved. Well, in October 2015, there was a study in the Journal of Circulation, and they reported that women are more at risk of heart disease if suffering from sleep apnea. So in this study, about 1,600 patients who had no heart disease at the onset and were followed for 14 years, females seemed to have higher levels of tryptophan in their blood when they suffer from sleep apnea. So typically, cardiologists will test the blood for tryptophan protein as an indicator for angina or myocardial infarction, otherwise known as heart attack. And often when this protein is present, the heart becomes enlarged. So this report seemed to indicate that women are at a greater risk of dying from sleep apnea complications than men are. And during the 14 years of the studies, the patients with the severe sleep apnea, about 32% of them, had enlarged hearts, had cardiovascular events, and then died. Now, those with moderate sleep apnea, like 30%, experienced just some adverse heart problems. So these two groups were compared to women without sleep apnea to estimate their risk factor. So men tend to have more complications of obesity and diabetes and high blood pressure in their high-risk group. Well, and then there's this unpublished link, which I found just fascinating. Over the years, you know, I've uncovered some information that was published but not promoted in medical circles as, you know, a cure for something. Some of the most problematic health conditions of our modern world kind of, you know, gets swept aside. Well, while I was an herbalist student, I heard a presentation by a natural physician who said he thought that a lot of sleep disruption and cardio issues were tied to the thyroid gland. So in 2007, Rutgers University did some research on the thyroid hormones that regulate sleep. Dr. Joseph Martin, he was a biologist, and he found out how important the thyroid was when he had his removed due to cancer, and he was forced to take medications to try to substitute for the missing gland because your thyroid gland manufactures hormones. So he had to take synthetic hormones to help regulate his sleep, his energy, and his weight. So what researchers have since discovered is that the thyroid manufactures these hormones which affect your brain and your nervous system. So the thyroid hormones act as receptors on brain cells. They act as neurotransmitters. So this affects cellular activity and regeneration. And modern medicine thought that the thyroid just regulated temperature and weight gain and weight loss, but it has more important functions, they found. So the research has led to an understanding that during your sleep, when you're asleep, the thyroid makes hormones and helps regulate that circadian rhythm, your sleep cycle, and helps the brain to regulate your breathing during your sleep. So there is a big clue. According to Dr. Joseph Martin, biologist, he says, we're just beginning to learn the true extent of how thyroid hormones impact our overall health. Well, let's look at some herbs that might be able to help us out, because I have learned a few things working with herbs, helping that thyroid out. Our thyroid gland must have organic iodine, not synthetic iodine, in order to manufacture hormones. So this is a food that your thyroid gland will take in and use it to make iodide and hormones with. So if the gland is overworked or exhausted, it will need soothing as well. So people become impatient if they have thyroid gland that's unable to offer them any energy, and they tend to get depressed and they gain weight. They're also frustrated with the complications that come and with the problem. So if you have the right herbs and use them in the right combinations, you can actually regenerate the thyroid. So difficulties can come into play if you've had surgery on your thyroid or radiation treatments on your thyroid. However, I personally would still try the herbs anyway to help regenerate the gland. So here are some of the herbal tools I use for thyroid. I use the black walnut because it has the natural iodine in it. It's the highest concentration of natural iodine that you'll find. It's higher than seaweed and the iodine you find in sun-dried Celtic salt. I also use mullein herb because it soothes glands. So it'll soothe your thyroid. It'll soothe all your glands that you have. Also, I add Siberian ginseng because this offers a lot of energy to the body and also helps the body to remove any debris that can be a metabolic toxic waste material. So I like those three together. Now, in case the heart has been weakened with a lot of the sleep apnea, you might want to use some cardio strengthening herbs. So if you're on the powerherbs.com website, they do have a tab for sleep apnea, and you'll find those three herbs, black walnut, mullein, and Siberian ginseng there. You'll also find those herbs listed in their product catalog on page 34. Now, the heart formulas will be under their heart and cardio tab. And, of course, if you're looking for the heart formulas in their catalog, look on page 11 and 12. So you want to check out the heart cholesterol blood pressure formula. The hawthorn berries will help you lower your risk of stroke. And also circulation formula and motherwort tincture if you have that flutter AFib going. And also they do have a heart attack pack. So if you tend to like camping and hiking and, you know, you're kind of in a remote area, this is in a one-pound pack that you can loop through your belt and go take it with you. So when seconds count and you're remote, you'll want to have something like that. Now, the other formulas to help with transition into wellness, maybe a little valerian root or emotional stress formula. If you feel a little depression or anxiety due to your thyroid being off balance, you can try those, as well as more energy and more vitamins and amino acids and protein from plants. All plants, a body food mix. This is whole food balance chemistry. This is nothing, isolated, made in a lab. This is all the stuff God put in plants. So you can try that. They do have a diabetic formula section, as well as if you have the cognitive thing going on, you can't really concentrate, check out the brain concentrate formula. And also for helping with sleep, maybe a little relaxation formula to relax your muscles. These are all there, very inexpensive, and professional concentrated formulas. So these are not the kind of herbal products you're going to find in stores. These are all certified organic, made to Tilth standards, all organic alcohol in the tinctures, and they're naturally aged and cold pressed. So this protects peptides and tannins, alkaloids in the plants. So nothing's removed, isolated, or taken away. And that's the world of difference that you find when you compare the store-bought formulas to the professional grade kind. So I would give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and get their catalog, because you'll be amazed how powerful you can be. It's going to be a game changer for you. And why not do it now? Because they have their Memorial Day special going on, and you can save 20% just checking them out. Yeah. So visit the website, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call and ask for a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. And again, 866-229-3663 if you're calling toll-free. And outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. And visit thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, $50 or more, you'll get 20% off your order now through Monday for Memorial Day. Details are on the homepage on the website, or you can call and ask about the discount. Let's see, if you're on the website, do sign up for the newsletters, because they're free and packed full of natural therapy information you're not going to get anywhere else. You're going to be such a savvy consumer when we're done, you'll be amazed. So it is a learning curve, it's an educational process, but it's one that's going to serve you forever. It is. It is. I mean, we're talking about your health here. So if you're on thepowerherbs.com and you want to get a newsletter, you have to go to the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can sign up for free there. Now, these newsletters are not hard copies. They are emailed to you, so you have to have an email address. Of course, you can opt out at any time. No problem there. And if you're really wanting to get proactive, and you want to, you know, start your process, a good starter book is the Power Herbs book, and it's up there, too, on the powerherbs.com website under the Books tab. And you could get this book. It's like 400 pages of natural therapies, and it'll teach you how to cleanse in the safe order so you can be successful. It'll tell you how to reduce toxicity. It'll show you how to strengthen your immune system, show you how to avoid certain herbs if you're nursing or pregnant. It'll tell you what herbs you can use for pets, how to make your own tinctures. I mean, on and on and on it goes. So check it out at thepowerherbs.com. It's just $14.99. And you can get started over this holiday weekend reading that. Three different formats. It's available in PDF, iPad, and Kindle. And it's just $14.99. So get your educational processes going there, and what better weekend to do that when you got some time to put your feet up and relax a little bit, you know? Check it out, thepowerherbs.com. And Frank, I hope you have a good holiday. I hope you have something special planned so you can relax a little bit. You work too much too, you know. Well, you do. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.